One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Come get some. See where I live. IGN Gamescoop.
Oh, final scoop of the year. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
I'm swallowing my gum. 1 second.
And Tina Mimi. We warned you about this
last
week.
That's going to be in your stomach for 7 years now.
Yeah, I think it's it.
That's 7 years of good luck. Good scoop.
That's what they say.
This is a very special episode.
I need to go to the doctor.
You keep coordinated your mugs.
Yeah,
well,
they've been doing that.
The mugs were coordinated, but the weird thing is that we were supposed to all coordinate wearing festive holiday outfits.
Yeah, I have
What the heck happened?
A sweater, but it's too hot in here. It's too hot. Yeah. I can't wear it.
Well, somebody remembered.
Yeah.
What if you just bring the sweater out and lay it across you?
Nope. Not
I put my jacket on Damon last night. He got a little bit cold.
Yeah.
I like Ricardo O'Skeleton's festive costume.
Here he is.
Ricardo O'Skeleton looks
somebody
like
somebody remembered.
He's been eating well over this holiday season. I'm glad to see that.
Has this been a good audio experience for everybody listening so far?
I think for sure. Talking about your mugs and Ricardo O'Skeleton.
I've got every sight gag but one out of my system.
It's okay. We've got good audio content coming to the show. This is a very special episode. It's the last one we're recording this year in 2019. We have already pre-recorded a special bonus episode for you that will go live next week, the week of Christmas. So please be excited about that. But this is the final one that we're recording, and we've got to talk about our most anticipated games of 2020. But first, it is that time of year again.
Mm. I still think of the water slide every time you say that. Going down butt first.
We have arrived at that time of year again. Time for the most prestigious award ceremony.
We're starting with the Damies?
Yeah.
All right.
We're starting with the Damies.
Okay.
It's the Damie Awards, ladies and gentlemen. I know everyone's been excited. We wait all year long for this. I'm a little bit nervous. I wish all of the nominees, you know, the best of luck out there.
Damon, who do you think is going to win?
You know, I don't even want to like jinx it. But I do have a Damie Awards bingo going on to see if, you know.
I hope all your favorite selections won.
I hope so too, you know. Yeah.
You did a lot of printing over here.
Yeah.
Very official looking.
Yeah.
All right.
This is good. We have the envelopes here with the winners.
I was wrong. There's several more sight gags.
These were just dropped off by PricewaterhouseCoopers earlier. So they haven't been in anyone else's hands. They haven't been tampered with in any way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The envelopes are sealed.
The envelopes have been sealed.
Certainly not by Damon.
No. And we're going to start handing out some awards here. Remember that, you know, if like a game wins a Damie Awards, usually like sales increase by like 1,000,000,000%.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, you know, this
is a real mathematical fact.
Yeah.
It's the Damon bump.
Yeah. That's what they call it. But we're not going to start with the game award. We're going to start with the movie award. We'll start with the best movie Damon saw in 2019.
That could be of any era.
What do you mean? In 2019.
Yeah, but you could best movie
but
you saw.
That was best new movie.
You watch Jurassic Park on Netflix, and you're like, damn,
that movie's really good. Still got it.
new movie of the year that Damon saw. Here to present the award is Justin Davis.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait. Okay. I see what's going on. Is this how it works?
Whoa. You haven't read the nominees yet.
Whatever, man.
First, you were not given instructions.
Best movie Damon saw. The nominees are Avengers Endgame, El Camino, John Wick 3, Knives Out, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Well, Damon made a big stink about one of those. So.
Yeah. I can guess it.
Yeah. So can I. Let's not give it away. I think some of them I'm more curious about. This one I feel like we all have pegged.
They're like, okay, well, it is known that
the best movie Damon saw in 2019 was Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Nope.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we have music cues.
Oh.
It is known, I believe Tarantino is our greatest living director, so that shouldn't be too much of a surprise.
Yeah, do you like the T-Man that much?
Yeah, for sure.
What about Nolan?
No, I think Tarantino's better.
Also, what's the difference between Hollywood and Mexico? It's just one word.
Entirely other movie.
It is just one word. And they're not so far apart from each other. Geographically speaking.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first award is already under our belts. We're really just flying through the award ceremony here. Here to present the award for Best Special Edition Blu-ray Damon bought this year is Sam Claiborne.
Yeah, but
this is very specific.
It's cool because we got rid of this one before the ceremony, so we don't actually have to go through the motions on this one.
But everyone
it was in the pre-show.
But now we're going to air that part that was taped.
All right.
Wait.
I thought it was cut for time.
Oh, yeah. We need to hear the nominees.
Oh, man. All right. The best special... I think they know the answer to this, too. The Best Special Edition Blu-ray Damon bought was either Big Trouble in Little China.
Good one.
Takes place in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The Blob.
Good.
Underrated. This is the 80s Blob.
Yeah.
Okay.
Underrated.
Uh-huh. I remember you talking about that. He came in one morning real excited. Cobra.
That's a Stallone action joint.
No idea what that is. The Godzilla Criterion Collection. Okay. Still don't know what Cobra is. Still waiting.
I told you it's a Stallone action movie.
No idea. Never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we're just going to move on without Damon explaining it. And then Piranha is the final one.
The 1978, I believe.
It's got to be that dope-ass Godzilla Criterion collection.
Yeah, with the collection. Art and everything.
Yeah, it's a little unfair.
He was really excited about The Blob.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's Godzilla.
Yeah, it's a little unfair because that's like 15 movies in one. It's a really...
Did you watch any of them?
Take it up with the commission.
King Kong versus Godzilla is the one I've watched so far. That's a great set. I love a good director's commentary. I'm a sucker for a director's commentary on a movie that I like.
You know what had really good commentaries? The Lord of the Rings.
Man, so
those
good.
Extended editions.
So good.
Okay. What are your awards called, Tina?
The Teenies?
The Teenies.
Those are pretty good.
I guess so. It's pretty cute.
Here to present the award for Best TV Show Damon Watched is Tina Amini.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The nominations. The Boys. Mm-hmm. Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. Mindhunter. Mm-hmm. Succession. Mm-hmm. True Detective.
Yeah.
I think I know this one, too.
Same.
Really?
Yeah.
I think we know you pretty well.
Okay, yeah, you guys.
We only talk every morning.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh.
I think that's
Chernobyl.
A surprise to me. Yeah.
Chernobyl.
That's really? What I
would that is a surprise
watched
to me,
yet.
Actually.
Too much of a bummer.
I was going to guess The Boys or maybe Succession. We didn't talk too much about it because some people don't like it.
I knew it was Chernobyl.
Out of this list, what's your favorite?
My personal favorite?
Yeah. Hmm.
I haven't seen Chernobyl, actually. Mm. So
you should watch it.
I should watch it. It's been on my list.
Really good.
Maybe out of this list, The Boys. I really like The Boys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. And you like Chernobyl.
Yeah, Chernobyl's incredible. Yeah.
Pear loves it, too.
Amazing. Hey, amazing.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Pear, big fan of ours, regular listener.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which is actually kind of amazing when you think about that. The IGN co-founder still listens to it. The podcast his company makes.
Let's send him a message in this episode and see if he gets it.
I'm pulling my earlobe.
Like a...
Because he loves that show and he's been telling us how much he loves it. And then I said, hi, Pear. Yeah.
Good.
All right. Now we've talked about him too long. Hi, Pear.
All right, now we're getting to the big categories. Here to present the award for the best game Damon played this year is Justin Davis.
That's a big one.
Yeah. What an honor, Justin.
The nominees for best game Damon played this year are Blaster Master 02.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to make fun of it. It's just a surprising choice.
I know. Not many people played that game.
Bloodstained, Katana Zero, Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah.
Well, two of those you scored, so we know those aren't your favorite.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
I don't know what your favorite game this
I know what
was.
It is. It's Jedi.
Hmm. No spoilers.
I'm gonna guess that.
I only saw one of these on his screen, and that wasn't the one.
Oh.
I'm going to guess Slay the Spire.
Hmm. I love Slay the Spire.
Oh. Okay. The winner is
nice.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
I called it.
Yep.
Well, so did you.
We talked about that a lot. Amazing game.
That game is great.
Yeah.
It won our People's Choice Awards on our Power Ranking show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a heavy year for big AAA single player games, but that was the best one of those that I played.
They're all coming in March and April.
Yeah, for perfect. Now to present the award for the best old game Damon played this year for the first time, Sam Claiborne.
That's a great category.
Interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I haven't heard of any of these. Arrow Fighters 2.
Yeah.
One of these is fake. Cannon Fodder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Elevator Action Returns. We talked about that one a lot. Yeah. That was a good one. Prehistoric Isle 2. And Shock Troopers Second Squad.
Okay, so Arrow Fighters 2 is a vertically scrolling shoot 'em up Neo Geo, and it's really like funny and clever. You can play as a baby, and then in between levels, the baby says,
"Sold.
I miss my mommy." And Cannon Fodder is a Super Nintendo game. I think it was a port of like an Amiga game with little characters like lemmings that you're soldiers, and you tell them where to go around the map and who to shoot. And Sam is just not even
Cannon Fodder's really
not good. Even waiting on him.
I can't believe you have a Neo Geo
really
in your house.
Yeah,
Shock Troopers. Second Squad.
It's a top-down shooter like Ikari Warriors with a really good sense of humor, and you can play it on your Switch, part of the Arcade Archives series.
But Damon, what's Elevator Action Returns?
The sequel to Elevator Action, made 10 years after the first.
A gritty, like anime-style reboot.
Yeah, with pretty hardcore violence for an arcade game.
It's incredible.
Like, yeah, really cool animation.
I never rode an elevator again after playing that game.
Mm. Prehistoric Isle 2 is the sequel to Prehistoric Isle. Two categories left. Now, since we have two bonus categories this year, since we're exiting the decade. So,
ooh,
wow.
Best game of the decade.
Here to present the award for best movie Damon saw this decade is Tina Amini.
Thank you very much. Ooh, this is a long list.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds, mm-hmm. John Wick, mm-hmm. Logan, mm-hmm. Mad Max Fury Road. I just rewatched that.
So good.
Mission Impossible Fallout, mm-hmm. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I'm just kidding. The Raid 2.
It better not be The Raid 2.
Why?
It might be.
Come on, Damon.
This is the End. Thor Ragnarok and Winter Soldier. This is a good list. This
I
is
wish
a tough
it was
one.
Thor Ragnarok. I think you gave it to The Raid 2.
I don't know why Sam thinks that's so unacceptable.
I like.
I knew it.
The Raid 2.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Movie's incredible.
An amazing movie. Unbelievable action scenes in that movie.
Have you seen The Raid 2?
I haven't. I think that's the only thing on the list I haven't seen.
It's a total Tina movie. You'll love it.
Okay.
I think I'm one of the rare people that likes Raid 1 more.
I like them both.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Raid 2 is just a little bit bigger.
It's a 1989 brawler, the movie. It's Double Dragon, the movie.
Kind of.
It is actually kind of like Double Dragon, the movie. It's really good.
Final award, the best game Damon played this decade. Which was actually really hard. This one was really hard. I agonized over
a decade's a long time.
Yeah.
It is.
I saw this one on his screen.
Yeah, here to present the award is Justin Davis.
The nominees for best game Damon played this decade are Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Hearthstone, Inside, Zelda Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, mm-hmm. Spelunky, Superhot, Portal 2, or Mass Effect 2. Man, decades are long.
Yeah, it was really
tough. Played through Superhot again.
The one you've played the most undeniably is Hearthstone.
That's true.
Overwhelming.
I've probably played it every day since it was released, over 2,000 consecutive days. Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, it is something. But is it the best game?
I suspect, if I were to guess, that you gave it to Spelunky.
Hmm.
What do you think?
That's a good choice.
I read that on his screen. It's definitely Spelunky.
Let's check it out.
Well, Spelunky is a total 10 out of 10 masterpiece.
But
the winner is
nice.
It would have been funny if I put that up on my screen. Just
that would have been great. Yeah, he's done that in other years. Keep listening.
Yeah.
does that bring us to the end of the Damies?
That's the end of the Damies.
Or does it?
Unless there's a sort of a People's Choice Award to
there
present.
Is a People's Choice Award.
Yeah, I'm excited.
How do you know about the People's Choice Award?
Because you weren't whispering very quietly.
Yeah, you were listening to the People's Choice Award.
There was also
happening?
A secret meeting happening that I wasn't invited to right before this taping.
So. How could you hear us?
I couldn't hear. I'm just sort of guessing that was what was being determined.
All right. Not very creative.
Well, the people
apparently.
Have spoken, and the People's Choice Award for Best Game of the Year is here. Here's the envelope.
Wow.
Totally
outdid me.
The people required a bigger envelope.
Totally outdid me here.
More people.
What is? I can't even read.
The game here is the Pong machine in the lobby.
Wow, that's true. Actually,
yeah.
I feel bad. I didn't even nominate that.
Yeah, we got a physical Pong machine in our lobby, and it's about this big.
Yeah, you know when you started opening.
I don't know how to describe it.
That envelope. I thought the game of the year, the people's choice for game of the year, would be video game 20 questions.
Mm. Aww.
That's a maybe good next year. Game. That's yeah. a good joke, too.
Good game. Man. Good gag.
But yeah, we got this like electromechanical version of Pong. Like it's a magnet under a table that moves a Pong ball around, and it works perfectly, and it's incredible, and it's like magic.
It's amazing and super fun.
And it was wasn't it kickstarted like forever ago? It felt like one of those things that was just never going
to
exist.
Yeah, and they thought it'd be like $800 to make, and it turned out to be like $2,500 or something. Yeah. Some big discrepancy, but
now we got it. It's beautiful and it's awesome and it works wonderfully.
Nice.
Got it all set up. It looks great.
Well, thanks for ruining my surprise, and I'm glad I ruined one of yours.
Well, that's what the dames are all about, really.
I think we need a Sharpie that's better next time.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Congratulations to all of our winners out there. As we sunset the year 2019, do you guys know what the most read gaming article on IGN was this year?
By you?
Nope, but the most read article by me.
Yeah,
he read it five times just today.
Every morning he reads the Bloodstained review.
Did I get it right?
What's the number one read article? It's going to be
of the decade. I don't know.
Is it by page views
of the year?
Page views.
Oh, of the year
of 2019.
Ooh,
I was just looking at this too.
One of the scandalous news stories.
It's probably do reviews count?
They count.
And it's definitely a review.
Okay, this is about it. Is this a game?
Well, I said it's
the gaming one. Yeah.
Okay. The most read article is not gaming. I'll reveal that.
The Death Stranding review?
Probably.
It could be, yeah.
I don't know.
No, it was the Anthem review.
Oh, of course. You have to go back in time and find the controversy.
I forgot that thing. Yeah.
But it's surprising that outdid Death Stranding.
Death Stranding will probably overtake it over time.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is that it's been up there for a while, accruing those views.
I don't know. I don't know how many people are still reading.
We'll check back in next year.
No, that is how it works. It's especially over the live game. It doesn't drop off entirely with games like Anthem.
That was the most read gaming article. But the most read article overall on IGN this year was the news about Spider-Man leaving the MCU.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, not cool. Ah, man, we keep losing.
Well, that's fine. That's irrelevant now. We should delete it.
Oh, I forgot all.
He's back, right?
This was unplugged.
We don't delete posts.
I didn't play any of these music cues for the winners. Going to have to count for all of them. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners.
Hi.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Just like Big Tony Style.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we heard from him.
I was hoping you paused. If you paused and it wasn't him.
Then I was preparing the Heimlich maneuver.
It's going to storm out.
Big Tony Style says, as a kid, the best time to game was always the summer because I had tons of time off school. Mm. As an adult, I find late December and early January the best time because of all the holiday breaks, and it piggybacks off a bunch of new AAA releases. I'm planning to catch up over the break on Gears 5, Bloodstained, and Pokemon. What big games from 2019 do you plan to catch up on, and what time of year is your favorite time to game? What are you guys going to be playing over our little break?
Great question, Big Tony Style.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah, very appropriate because we're talking about all of our holiday plans, and Luigi's is mine. And I can't wait.
That's such a good answer.
Yeah.
That's going to be mine too.
I'm really a firm believer, like in the same way there's Christmas movies, and not just in their theme, but also there's just in their feeling and their attitude, like they're appropriate for that time of year, like Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And a Halloween game? Where are you going with this?
No, but like it's homey and friendly, and like I wouldn't want to play a big, in your face, aggressive game over the Christmas break. I'm looking for something that's more like chill.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me,
and on a Switch.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm playing Dragon Quest XI, the Switch port.
I hear such good things about that.
Yeah,
I'll probably check it out.
It's very traditional. It's very chill. It's very slow. And so like sometimes of year, that's kind of like actively not what I'm looking for. But as like a nice chill Christmas game. I've already started playing it, and it is lovely and wonderful, and I cannot wait to play more.
I suppose like an easily pausable game is actually pretty convenient, too, when you're around family.
Yeah.
Kids bugging you.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Mine was already Luigi, so I hate you both. I'm also going to try to play for the first time Final Fantasy VII, because it's on Switch now, and I want to play the first version of that before I play the remake.
What about Watam?
Yeah, and I just started Watam, actually. So if we talk about what we've been playing,
first impressions of Watam. That's not a segment of the show, so feel free to
use this time.
I don't partake, but one should. That game is just made for people to be blitzed out of their mind. It is so insane, and it doesn't take much game control or anything. So it's pretty interesting. The first maybe 30 minutes just like evaporated in time for me. So I knew it like sucked me in, but like it's like it's puzzle solving for like things that, that make no sense. So you have to figure out what the thing is that would make the least sense and then do it. It's very strange. But all you're doing is walking around as like little, you can play as anything on this like play field. It's like you have all the, like you can be a mouth or a plant or a dookie or a seed, and each of them have to interact with each other. And at the most recent one, we all had to hold hands and walk in a circle and then we grew a tree.
Cool.
Also appropriate holiday, you know, family.
Did any of that make sense?
It is a good family game. Is the music the really good?
The music is so good. It has that Katamari Damacy situation where it's like jazz with singing, though.
Like, I love that.
Like, acapella jazz and stuff. It's crazy sounding.
I love that game. I can already tell.
Deep lore, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
For all those lore hounds out there. My family and I exchange gifts with my mom and dad, my sister and her husband, and everyone makes an Amazon wish list. And then you just go off that, so you actually get people what they want. So I have two games on my list this year. It's Luigi's Mansion and My Friend Pedro.
Oh,
because I haven't played that yet. Yeah. So hopefully Santa will deliver, and I'll be playing those games over the break.
If you like Katana Zero, which I know you do, you will like My Friend Pedro.
Yeah, I think so. And I should have said that. That's a game I haven't played this year that I think I'll like. And then I also haven't seen Star Wars yet. I'm seeing Star Wars in about 3.5 hours.
Me too.
Me too.
Wow. Me too.
That's so weird.
It's like we're seeing it together.
Scoop Star Wars.
All right. And that's the last time we're ever going to talk about anything from 2019. Now we look ahead to 2020.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And our most anticipated 2020 games.
It's easy and hard.
Animal Crossing.
And hard.
Yes. All exclamation points attributed to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That one's going to be a long burn, which is going to be great.
And that's March or April?
March.
Thanks.
So excited about it. Tina and I are in lockstep on this one. Yeah, Let's be, I don't know what the...
I hope there is sharing.
Yeah, like some version of, like, I'll give you my peaches and you can trade me some of your pears.
I'll give you some beetles. It'll be great.
Mm. Yeah. Love it.
I hope there's an island. I always like
the whole thing's an island.
I know, but I hope there's a separate island.
Another island.
I know it's island life.
You want another place you go to.
Yeah, I think that's really cool to leave.
Agreed.
And then it's like always summer in that one area.
And the turtle sings his weird songs.
Yeah.
They call it Hawaii.
Is that the first big Switch game of the year? The Switch exclusive?
I think it might be.
No one knows. I mean, there wasn't, that got pushed, so it must be.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything else that got pushed. Mm. In that same month, it's like, you know, I'm really excited for Cyberpunk, obviously, and I want to be excited for Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And that was all looking great, Doom. And then all of a sudden, there's Resident Evil 3 now.
Resident Evil 3 Remake, I'm very excited for.
Oh, and Half-Life kind of shoved in there.
When is that one?
I think it's March something.
April. It's right in
Is it April? Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's right in that slew of releases.
Half-Life Alyx.
Yes.
I'm trying. It's hard for me to think of things I'm excited about, like, beyond May.
Well, we don't think we know of anything beyond Man, except that Ghost of Tsushima is for summer.
The obvious Halo. One, the obvious one is Cyberpunk.
Halo Infinite.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's
Halo
Cyberpunk.
Infinite will be a launch game.
Cyberpunk is my most anticipated game of the year overall. And, you know, I think it's probably safe to say that the gaming community at large, yeah, that's the one that they're really looking forward to.
I made a list. Marvel's Avengers, The Last of Us Part II, Halo Infinite. Mm-hmm. Those are some good call-outs.
Yeah. And Halo's probably later in the year, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one doesn't even have... Last a lot of these don't have, like, release dates.
May?
I don't remember.
Halo still in the first half of the year.
Halo's so primed to just be, you know, great again. And then they were actually never not great, but like 4 and 5 didn't quite rise to the heights of 2 and 3, but now 343 has really hit their stride and seems a lot more confident in their vision for this franchise moving forward. And I'm really looking forward to, I like that vision of first person shooting more than, you know, the Call of Duties of the world. And So I'm really, really excited about Halo being prominent and back in the forefront of gaming culture again. Mm.
Going into 2019, I was actually excited about a number of indie games, including a title Goose Game, My Friend Pedro, which I haven't played either. And then there wasn't Katana Zero. There's something else I was thinking of, though. Maybe it was
Messenger.
That was exciting.
2018, though.
Yeah, that was the previous year. But yeah, there was games I knew about going into the year. I don't have any of those right now, but a lot of those come around E3 or GDC. Sometimes at GDC, we see a lot of the indie games that are coming out that year.
Yep.
What about Ori and the Will of the Wisps?
Yeah. I will play that if there's nothing else to play.
Not super anticipated then.
No, I mean, I think it's. I played it at E3 and I really like how it's a grappling hook. Like, I'm sold on the games with grappling hooks. But it wasn't, like, it's never really grabbed me, even though I like Metroid likes. Mm.
There's a new Hollow Knight coming out.
Like a whole new game or an expansion?
Sequel, yeah. I want to play that. Should I play Hollow Knight?
Yes.
Just do that first for sure.
It's the best Metroidvania.
Yeah.
Except for, well, you know, Super Metroid is my favorite game. So it's the best one that's not a Metroid or Castlevania game, for sure. Hmm. And then some people put it above those even.
Hard to believe. Trying to think, of another one that would be. Yeah, that's...
Well, there's Blood.
It's usually the Castlevanias and the Metroids that are the best of those series.
I'm contractually obligated to be excited about some obscure crap that no one else is. I'm excited for Langrisser 1 and 2, the remake that's coming out. Those are Japanese turn-based strategy games from the 90s. I think the first one was released here as War Song, if I remember correctly. But they're being totally remade, and I love those games like Final Fantasy Tactics and Shining Force. So I'm excited for those.
Nice.
I'm also excited for Wasteland 3, even though I've never played a Wasteland game. That looks like a Daymi game.
Oh, cool.
Top-down isometric RPG.
Doom Eternal?
It's not top tier for me. But I'm excited to check out Doom Eternal.
It looks like much, it's more appealing to me than any of the recent Doom stuff.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Streets of Rage 4 looks awesome. That's coming together really well. Excited for that. And then if Assassin's Creed Ragnarok is real.
Is that a real thing?
I mean, We don't know for sure, but
probably.
It's looking likely. We're getting our Viking Assassin's Creed. It's been 2 years. It will have been 2 years since Odyssey, so it's about time for that.
I hope they go like full fantasy. There was just a few like fantastical things in the last game, and I'd really like to see that expanded on. Mm-hmm.
And then it's been delayed a couple times now, but we should be getting the sequel to my game of the decade, Spelunky 2.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's been a long time coming. I don't know how they could possibly top Spelunky, but I'm very, very excited to check that out.
What about Hellblade 2? That was just announced.
Yeah, I didn't play the first one.
Dude, that trailer's wild.
Yeah.
It's like been sticking in my thoughts.
Cool trailer for sure.
You know, we sort of blew past it, but the Final Fantasy VII Remake is clearly one of my, you know, and again, just gaming in general's most anticipated games. I've made fun of Final Fantasy VII on this show before, but I make fun of it from like a place of love. Like that was one of the first JRPGs I really remember getting into and playing. And I'm really curious to hear what you think, Sam, because I think it's hard to go back to in a modern context.
Yeah.
But the remake, you know, revisiting this world and these characters, and particularly the music, is like...
Yeah, I was excited about the music. If it has any... Does it have a lot of six in it?
Wait, six?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Like, does it feel like Final Fantasy VI at all?
No, it doesn't feel like...
No, that's too bad. It's completely I was hoping there'd be like a kind of a crossover game and then like the 3D games would be different after that, but...
No, 7 is a very unique beast. Okay. And like Midgar and these characters and this world and that sound, like, I don't know. I really think that game is going to be something special.
Nintendo's a real black hole next year. I mean, there's
it's just a big question mark, right?
Yeah, big question mark. There's
an Animal Crossing they'll have.
Can they possibly do Zelda at holiday season? Yeah,
Breath of the Wild 2.
Or Metroid. That just doesn't seem likely, right?
I think they might have Zelda ready.
You think so? That'd I mean, it would definitely have to be post E3 because they'll take advantage of that.
Yeah, like next Christmas.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out right now. Look under your seats.
We're also getting 4 new consoles next year.
What?
4?
Is one of them the cranky thing?
Oh.
5 new consoles next year.
The TurboGrafx 16 mini?
No, I wasn't counting the mini.
6.
But PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm.
Which is not the real name now, apparently.
Yeah.
No, just get it together, Xbox. Just give us a name.
A new Atari? Maybe, if that actually materializes. And then a new Intellivision, which actually has a release date in October, I want to say.
Mm. Okay.
So there you go.
Okay. I'm glad that we gave all 4 of those equal...
equal weight.
Equal weight.
I just want to remind people that there's weird retro game consoles coming out next year. All right, let's move on to one more email. This is Will in Scottsdale. He says, here's a possibly dumb but kind of interesting question. With the console market becoming more divided, with Stadia, xCloud, Atari's console, mobile, and more, could we see another video game crash in the next 5 to 10 years? I think it's pretty unlikely, but anytime you go away from a few key players to multiple, there's a chance of things going sideways.
I grew up in Scottsdale, and there is a arcade there called Video Roundup. Cool. And it was like a pool hall arcade, so you could smoke in there. And I went there when I was, 13 or 14 or whatever, and like all the big kids were smoking, and it was so like tough and rough.
Scary.
Like, scary. It was like Roadhouse.
Yeah, wow.
It was like super scary. It's like Roadhouse with like Japanese import fighting games.
Well, I like how in your 12, 13-year-old mind, it's like Roadhouse. But if you were to go there as an adult, it's just 16-year-old nerds. 16-year-old
smoking. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was really scary, and I remember they had a back room. They had like drinks, but they weren't alcohol. They were like whatever they could sell kids underage that were 18. So it was probably like Arizona iced tea or something. But so they had that, and then there they had a cocktail area with cocktail machines, and I played Pac-Man Jr., this terrible scrolling version of Pac-Man. It's one of my earliest gaming memories.
And that's not the pinball one?
That's Baby Pac-Man.
That's Baby Pac-Man, okay.
Get them straight, Damon. Come on. Sorry. We talk about this every day.
I should know my Pac-Man.
Every day.
Yeah.
That's my Scottsdale story.
What were we talking about?
Anyway, could there be another video game crash? Oh, no. Like 83?
No.
That's the short answer. Yes. No.
Well, okay. So the the background on that is that video games in 1983 in the arcades were really good. Mm-hmm. And at home, they got really bad because the Atari had been out and it was a terrible system for making innovative, cool games. It could make Pong really well and Combat really well. Mm-hmm. And then they stretched that and they made things like Pitfall and stuff like that. And it worked. It was really amazing. But by 1983, games were pretty advanced in the arcades. And the home games that came home, like Pac-Man, were so bad that... this is just one of the causes. Kids' games were, given to them by their parents at Christmas, and then their parents, the kids didn't want the games. They cried on Christmas. The parents returned the games, and that's how bad they were. They were like total shovelware. That was all that was available, and then that wasn't sustainable. So then the idea was video games are bad and a waste of your money, and then they just went away. And the parents went after other toys. Cabbage Patch hit really hard right after that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then
I got my daughter a Cabbage Patch doll for Christmas.
They're back?
Yeah.
Wow. So then it seemed like those era of games like Space Invaders and Pac-Man stuff like that was like a fad and just went away.
Yeah.
And then it came back so hard with the NES in 1987.
I think video games make too much money, right? It's a multi-billion dollar global business that it can't crash and go away entirely. It's embedded in just humankind the way that, music or movies is. But what could happen is a change in, I don't think this is going to happen this generation, but game consoles, the way that people consume games, maybe people will be like, mobile games are bad and I don't want to play games on my phone anymore. Or the game consoles, we know it now, could go away. Mm-hmm. So it's an evolution of how people play their games and interact with them and spend their money on them could change. But as an entertainment medium now, it's here to stay.
Yeah, I have a way games could go away.
How's that?
I only have microtransactions in our mobile games?
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
2. One is that if the United States, Europe, and Japan were eliminated as world powers entirely, there probably wouldn't be a game industry anymore, and then we'd all be farming and stuff like that. that's one way that could happen. That's the apocalyptic version. Hmm. The other is a different type of apocalyptic version. That's if VR gets so good that people don't really want to live in the world anymore and just want to plug into a Matrix-type existence, or maybe even some other thing that's not really a video game. But Tina, we're talking about this earlier, made the point that that's all still video games, kind of the way we're currently defining VR and stuff like that. If we're all living in a VR utopia, not a dystopia, then it's still kind of what our industry could end up at.
Yeah, I think it's like maybe video games and the industry in its form today might not exist, but it will exist in some form or another. Mm-hmm. And we have so much, or the industry rather, has like so much marketing power and understanding and data of like what their users want, and they care so much about kind of applying all of that data into how they make things. And it's why like Battlefront 2 is actually a good game now, because they take that stuff to heart and they know that's how to tap in with, to your consumer base to give them what they want. So it'll adapt in whatever direction that ends up in.
Yeah. I mean, there's too many companies that are not gaming companies that have a vested interest in ensuring that video games continue to succeed. You know, it's like a huge percentage of YouTube consumption is gaming, and that's owned by Google, and a huge percentage of App Store revenue is gaming, and that's Apple, you know? So it's like these gaming adjacent companies, you know, and Twitch with Amazon, like the biggest companies on the planet are very invested in making sure that video games as a medium, you know, and continue to boom.
Yeah, YouTube's a really good point because that's also a cultural thing. There are streamers that people enjoy watching and seeing their reactions to playing games, but there's also esports as a competitive field, but also as a kind of fan base as well of its own. So that'll always exist too, or, you know, in some form.
Yeah, even on the consumer side, you know, however you feel about this moniker, the identity of gamer is something that a lot of people like have identified with, and like it defines their whole being and their whole, you know, life. And like they're not going to just, you know, they're not going to like give that up, or it would totally change their whole outlook on, you know, how they view themselves if video games went away. You know?
There are dozens of really reputable fashion designers that are collaborating with game IPs, but also just making these like weird Nintendo and Uniqlo collaborations, or like Louis Vuitton and Coach and all this crazy stuff that's crossing over into that. So it's a lot of money being thrown around in one industry.
It's definitely more mainstream than ever. Remember when everybody was talking about how movies were going away?
As
of the turn
of
the century?
Yeah.
Even before Netflix, because like theaters are really dying, I guess because of DVDs.
But they still are, right? Like that, you know, that hasn't actually gone away. And yet they're still as much a part of our culture than ever. It's just changing.
In bookstores, that happened with two, right?
Yeah.
Which is different than a media. Well, books, I guess I should just say. Books. Like, books are very, very popular and around still. It's just they also live alongside ebooks. It's an interesting thing to think about. TV might be the next big crash, right? Because everything's moving to streaming.
Yeah.
Like, what is over-the-air television or cable television going to matter?
Mm. We'll always have Watchmen. We won't.
No, we don't have Watchmen anymore. Watchmen's over now.
You'll always have Watchmen season one.
Yeah. Oh, and what a season. I can't wait for you to watch that, Damon.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
see. Over the holiday break.
Maybe.
Do it.
Stop resisting.
What? What's such an odd reaction?
No, because I watched the first episode and it didn't do much for me. That's
but everyone knows that that's the bad one.
Exactly.
Okay. That's.
Listen, you have to play 70% of this video game before you like it.
I know.
You got to play it.
I forgot to do the best TV show I watched this decade, but it's far and away Breaking Bad. Short answer, Will and Scottsdale don't have much to worry about. Video games are here to stay. And that brings us to video game 20 questions.
Is this Turtles?
I think that's Battletoads.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, Base Wars. This is Base Wars.
Battletoads is also a 2020 game.
But it's
game.
Konami, right? Base Wars is Konami.
Are you guys excited for the game she just mentioned, Battletoads 2020?
I don't know. We'll see.
We know nothing about it.
We forgot that that had been announced.
Oof.
Video game 20 questions this week comes from James from Squim, Washington. And it's a very special one. He sent something in.
What's in there?
Don't worry about what's in there.
I'm going to fade out.
Don't worry about what's in there.
Wait, that's the answer of the 20 questions?
Yeah, well, it goes along with it.
Okay.
James says, I've been listening to GameScoop since 2015, and this time my life has changed tremendously. My kids have started school, I've changed career fields after 12 years, and I got divorced. Oh. Throughout all this, GameScoop has been one of the few constants. Thank you for everything you provide for me and everyone else that listens. For my 20 questions nomination, I put forth Redacted. This was the first game that I played that had a Redacted. Let the questioning begin.
That's such a good clue.
Does anyone know the him personally?
No, it's like the first game that had a what? Like had a something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Save file.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Or
frog protagonist. It could be frog or Battletoads. Are the Battletoads frogs?
They're clearly toads.
Is this
I
game?
I don't know if they are.
It's right there in the title. They're not battle frogs.
It doesn't matter what the title
is. I think one of them is a frog.
What?
Is this game played with any sort of like weird or kooky peripheral or like interacted with in an unusual way?
No.
Aw. So it's not the first game with a fishing controller
I like the angle you're going for.
Yeah, except I was wrong.
To try to figure out what that clue is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go simple. Is this in first person perspective?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this a, does this have multiplayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Did this game come out in the 90s?
No.
After the 90s.
How many first person multiplayer games do you know from the 90s?
Doom.
That's one.
There you go. We could have gotten in three questions.
Descent.
Perfect Dark. Quake. all right. Is this on the contemporary round of consoles?
It is playable on the contemporary round of consoles.
I hate that answer.
That's five.
They always do this to us.
Yeah.
Is this a festive game?
I don't think I don't think it is.
Do you want to ask that? Because remember, he said something up ahead of the podcast.
No.
We need to burn a question to confirm it's a shooter. Because all we know is that it's first person in multiplayer right now.
Is it a shooter?
Yes.
There you go.
Sorry. But otherwise we're going to get ourselves into trouble.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, shooter multiplayer. You can play it on contemporary consoles. Is it part of a series?
Yes.
Is this can I go again?
Yeah, yeah.
Go for it. The series alive today?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Could be a Halo game.
Yeah.
Is this a sci-fi game?
We can go back to the first thing clue. The first time a game did something.
I've given up on that. Mm. I can't.
Too vague.
Yeah.
Are you asking the sci-fi game?
Yes.
It's probably Halo. Sci-fi shooter, Destiny or Halo?
Are you a chief?
That wouldn't even narrow it.
Are you
a master chief?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's 10.
Oh, dang. Damn.
That would have been fun.
Okay.
You said sci-fi, yes.
Is this a console exclusive?
Does horror count?
Yes.
Oh, a console exclusive.
Yeah.
Had multiplayer.
Is this an Xbox exclusive?
Yes.
Oh, dang.
Okay, so it's Gears or...
Could be Perfect Dark Zero. Gears is third person.
Yeah.
So Perfect Dark Zero, if that counts as sci-fi, I totally
could. It could still be a Halo game that you don't play as Master Chief in.
What?
Reach.
Mm.
Damon wouldn't do that to us.
Okay.
Well, I mean, factually, that would be correct.
Yeah, I know. But trust me, Damon wouldn't do that to us. He wouldn't do us dirty like that on the last game scoop of the decade.
I imagine it's still an exclusive. Yeah, there's no exclusive change.
So the thing about Xbox games is that they're all playable, you know, forward compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but he said it's still a currently alive series.
Oh, good point.
So it could be Halo.
A currently live series that was an Xbox exclusive first person sci-fi game. Oh, dang. I feel like we should be...
First-person shooter sci-fi game, yeah.
Yeah, with multiplayer. We should be doing a lot better than we are.
We should.
Unless you're right and Damon is...
Does this series have more than five games in it?
Yes.
I mean, it's a Halo game.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think Damon is doing us dirty like that.
Yeah. Mm.
Is it a Halo game?
Yes.
Ah, you son of a bitch. Well, so it either has to be ODST or Reach.
Yeah, ODST.
I don't know how to narrow it down easily between these.
Was ODST a DLC game?
It was standalone.
Oh boy.
So knowing that Halo Reach was a prequel is...
No. Oh yeah, it is.
Is this game a prequel to the main line of the series?
Yes.
Is it Halo Reach?
You still have to hear the Bowser music.
Okay.
But your guess?
Halo Reach.
Halo Reach?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah. Nice.
Halo
Out
Reach.
Of all of the games, that was tricky. Asked, are you a Master Chief? And he held his poker face and said no.
Because he was doing the facts. He was just answering the questions.
All right. I think it would be the first game that he used a strategy guide for.
A strategy guide?
Oh, yeah. What's the first game that had a...
I don't know, because I don't have the email. I just wrote redacted. But he sent this in. Look at this.
Wait.
He made this.
You don't know what his answers were?
What the heck?
Well, I can look it up in an email.
Are we sure it was
Halo
Reach?
You're going to look it up in a dang email.
Whoa. Hey, what is this?
Shut up and look at this.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Is it like knitted?
It's your question. Know.
Yeah. Does your character wear a hat?
That's cool.
It looks like crochet.
It's cross-stitched, I think.
How is this accomplished?
If you're listening to the podcast...
I think it's crochet.
James in Squim, Washington, like, crocheted this like mat that of Halo Reach, and it has the GameScoop logo, and it says, does your character wear a hat?
This is amazing.
That is very professionally done.
I want just like a scan of that beautiful GameScoop.
Yeah.
The colors look so good.
We have to hang this
up
in the office.
It's like really perfect.
It's totally going up.
I'm going to wear it.
This is amazing.
It is amazing. It's a great... holiday gift.
Nicely
for us.
Job.
Yes, nicely job indeed, James from Squim, Washington.
Okay. We have so many props today.
I know.
Wait, no, this is dangerous.
Good episode to watch on YouTube, youtube.com/gamescoop. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to another year of Game Scoops.
Can we do a special bonus episode tomorrow, maybe, so we don't have to say goodbye?
No, because that would require coming into the office.
We're already doing that.
Yeah, same.
Okay, we'll do one.
Okay.
Without you.
That's fine.
All right.
I'll do a bonus one without
you. We never get permission that easily.
It's going to be Damie segments.
It's suspicious. It's the holidays. I'm feeling okay. Generous. Mm.
Many, many years ago.
That's the whiskey.
Damon and I were chatting, and I said, Damon, if you were to ever leave IGN or not be here anymore, you know, could I take over Game Scoop? And you just said, nope. No, you can't.
I said, taking it with me.
Okay.
He's going to wait until his son is all grown up.
Everyone out there that watches and listens to the show every week, thank you so much for hanging out with us all year long. We really enjoy making this show for you.
And honestly, every time someone tweets at me or not me, but at us, or stops sometimes people on the street and says hi and reaches out, it means the world. And I really appreciate everybody being so communal and happy and fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Especially on our Facebook group and our YouTube comments and our IGN comments. They're always in there doing good stuff.
Community is very, very chill and cool.
Yep.
Plus two on all of that.
That's a good reminder that there's a really fun Facebook group. If you just search Game Scoop on Facebook, come and join. And there's lots of good gaming discussion happening there every day. It's really fun. So we will have a bonus episode for you next week, the week of Christmas. It'll be the 100 Questions Challenge.
And then is there a week off after that?
Then there's a week off. Okay. We'll be back in the first full week of January. So we'll see you all then. Everybody have happy holidays. Have a safe and happy new year. That's all the scoops we have for you this year. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Teo. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
I'm not afraid to Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.